Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. Want to talk some ball? We got the guy to do that. Coach Mack joins us. Titans radio analyst. It's a good title to have, right?
What? Good title?
Yeah.
What was the title? Analyst?
Titans radio analyst.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. You can
smart guy.
It means you love ball.
No, I do that.
And you can analyze ball.
I do that. And I know our listeners love ball, too. I mean, look, the combine's coming up, and that's something I really like, too.
We'll get to that. I heard the Wake Up Zone guys talking about you this morning. And Mark said, if Coach Mack loves football so much, if he saw a bunch of frat guys out playing touch football, he'd stop and analyze it.
Well, I might look and see if there are any players.
That's right. Coach, if I start a flag football team, will you coach it?
If you're on it, absolutely yes. You're the quarterback, though.
You can play at Sports Fest. More information, 1045thezone.com.
That's right. Sports Fest is going to have, what? Is it going to be 5-on-5 or what's it going to be?
5-on-5.
Don, get 4 more.
I'm on it.
Okay. Get 4 more athletes.
I'm a wide receiver, though.
You are a receiver?
Yeah, I'm a receiver.
Good. Well, then get four more athletes, AFLETES, and we'll do something.
I took her more as like a safety, somebody that wants to come knock your block off.
Doesn't mean she can't be physical as a receiver.
Right.
I mean, we're
combat playing, catches, right?
Combat catches. Are we playing flag? Is that what we're playing?
Yeah.
They would never touch her.
Transcontinental routes.
Yeah, TRCs. They would never touch her. I promise you.
I got that quick twitch.
You throw that jet screen out there to her. She'd slap one of them in the face and take off with it. Gone.
Dave McGinnis with us until 4 o'clock. You mentioned the combine. It's coming up from an NFL perspective, a team perspective. Where are they? What are they doing a week out?
They're very good. Here's what they've been doing. You know, once the coaches got back from their time off, they've been splitting their days half and half between putting their playbooks together, doing their cut-ups, going through their post-mortems from last year and starting to build a new playbook for this year. And then the next half of the day is spent on the combine and the draft. And what they've done now is John Robinson and his people have given them a list of people to look at. They've given them a list of people. And normally what your scouting group will do, they will give you a list of people to look at, but they won't give you their grades on them. All right. Because they want to get, another set of eyes, and they want to get a true evaluation, because what they've been doing is they've been looking at these players all year, throughout the season. And now into the postseason, we've already had the Senior Bowl. You've already had the East West game. Now we're getting ready to go in the combine, but they will give the coaches a list of players if they want their, ideas on. And then what they'll do is they'll give them some more players to look at. There's two things that go on at the combine with assistant coaches. First of all, whenever your time is your time in the box, so to say, when your group is there for 2.5 days. All right. And when your group is there, and if your position is one of the scheduled 60 interviews, well, then you've got to set aside, you've got to be there for that 15-minute segment that night in your room. Each team has a room in the Holiday Inn there that's circular. Each team has a room. You've got 15-minute segments with your players. But then as an assistant coach, when you do not have somebody that is in your room being interviewed, they've got another huge area set up across from this hotel called the train station, as to where each team has a table. And with that table, you get one or two runners from your personnel department. Normally your younger, personnel assistants, they will go out and get the players that you don't have on your 60 list. And then you will sit and be able to visit as long as you want with those players in your position group. This is really a critical time, because the position coaches to spend a lot of time with players that they pinpoint that they want to talk to over there at the train station. And it's an important time. It really is. And some of the things that I would do, when I was a coordinator, I would have my position coaches, first of all, start out, because say you have 2 or 3 teams, you can get information from guys, genetic, general information from guys, you know, in a group, and then you'd split off, you know, to ask them a particular questions that you'd want to ask them. And that's where you could get, you know, say I was looking at Mickey as a defensive back, and I'd get him over there with me. And what I would start to do is say, okay, look, I've watched your tape already. I know what you play. Here, show me this, you know, in the Georgia game, here's what I saw you guys were playing against this formation. And I draw it for him and I say, now draw your defense and tell me what you were doing. And then, you know, draw this route, show me what you have, draw this route, show me what you have. And then, you know, try to explain to me as much as you can, not only what you did, but how everybody else fit into this picture. And it's pretty revealing, you know, when you do that.
Were there guys who absolutely blew you away, and others you're like,
both,
how in the world did this guy make
it? No, both ends of the spectrum, Mickey, but that's what you learn. And right. And again, you don't try to embarrass anybody. Right. And you know, you try to help them and prod them along, but the whole time, you know, you're making notes and you're making mental notes so that once you get back in the big general meetings that are going to happen after this and your groups come up, you can say, they'll start talking about football knowledge. They'll start talking about, you know, how much does he know? What is he into? How would he be to teach? All of these things are important. So this is a very, very important week, you know, that's coming up in the combine. I love it. I've always loved the combine. The drills are one thing, but really the nuts and bolts. And I tell you what else is important to do. And I would have my, you know, assistant coaches, they would follow their groups, because you can find out a lot about a guy just watching him interact with his groups, going from
how he takes instruction,
body language,
body language. And, you know, and then I would always ask, because the combine has people that are in charge of, in other words, you know, Don, you would be in charge of taking all the defensive backs from drill to drill to drill for those 2 days, the different places they have to go, the weigh-ins. And so what you would do, find out who that group leader was, and then ask them, who was late, who was on time, who was a giant pain in the fanny, you know, I'm serious, you know,
there have been guys who've been sent home from the combine.
No, right, you know, and who was someone you couldn't deal with, or who was someone that was always there on time, who was somebody, because even within that short of time, I mean, the leaders are the guys that people will gravitate to. They'll start to come to the front pretty quick.
How much in those personal meetings, how much is all ball talk, where you said, you know, you kind of put something out there, and how much is maybe just personality, get to know a kid talk?
Big, both of them. Both of them are very big. And I was very big on both of those too, because look, they sometimes, you know, especially now, and especially as sophisticated as the combine has gotten, and as sophisticated as agents have gotten in prepping their players for the combine, a lot of these things that they can rehearse. In other words, they can rehearse, you know, draw up your defense, draw up this, draw up that. But when you really start trying to dig into the person, you know, to find out really, you know, who they are, you know, and ask them, you know, who's important to them, who in their family is important, you know, who's your main caregiver and why, you know, what's your motivations, those types of things. I mean, I always felt like that was really, really important to do, because you have a very short amount of time. Now, you're still going to be able to bring 30 people in before the draft to your facility,
right?
You know, those 30 visits. And a lot of times teams will do different things. They may bring back some of the 60 that they've had in there so that they can really dig on them and really grind down deep on them when they got them in the facility. Or they may bring somebody, you know, completely new that they don't have enough tape work on, but they're a little bit intrigued by their playing ability. They'll bring those guys in. And so this is a very big and important time, because now everybody is going to collaborate and get a final fix on who you'd think that you might want. And then you start to pod players up into groups, you know, where you think they may land and what you might need.
I did it again, Mike. I watched some AAF football over the weekend. I know,
yeah,
you did too.
Look, I did. I went back to Birmingham. There's a spot for this. I mean, there really is. I mean, there's a spot for it now. You know, clearly, you know, it's a startup league, and so don't get out over your skis thinking it's something that it's not. I mean, it's a developmental league, and they're going through their own growing issues too.
You got a little bit worried when I saw the big loan last week.
But you know what? That never was. I think, you know, and I've talked to some people about that, and that guy was going to come in. You know, that guy owns a fourth of Topgolf. He owns the
has a money printing machine, that guy.
No, no, he's from Dallas. He owns it. He owns that Lynx course that they're going to play the Byron Nelson on.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy's got
water. He's got stuff.
No, he's got water in his bucket. So, I mean, yep. He's, you know, this guy's not going to put $250 million into something that he doesn't think's going to work, you know. And so, anyway, but he was already a scheduled investor. And then the missed paychecks were, I think, the result of some miscommunications with, they've got money anyway, but there's some other issues they've got, you know, going on, just like, you know, what's going on with Spurrier down there. You know, they've got to practice, you know, because Florida's laws, and again, I'm not an attorney, but their laws are that they won't insure professional athletes as employees, so they're not under the workman's compensation law, so they have to practice at least half of the time in Georgia.
Goodness.
Okay, because Georgia will, and then they've got.
Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. I was saying, so, I mean,
There's a lot going on.
There's stuff going on. And so there are things, and, you know, I talked to Dennis Erickson, you know, at Birmingham. You know, he's the head coach of that Salt Lake team. And, yeah. And that group is still in San Antonio, you know, where they've been since training camp. They're a lot like the Rams were when we moved from St. Louis to L.A. They don't have their facility built out yet in Salt Lake. So they've just now this week are going back to Salt Lake. But, I mean, it's a startup league, so you're going to have things like that. But the purpose of the league and what it is and the way it is being run, and, again, all I can speak to is two game days that I've been to personally. I mean, it's run very well. Now, you know, the money aspect of it, I mean, that's the thing that collapses most all of these startups is if the financing is not there. Now, clearly the financing is there, you know, right now. And so, you know, we'll see. But the two weeks, the products have been, and, you know, some people have said that, you know, on television, they both got dark colored jerseys, you know, but anyway, it's a startup league. But I was in the press box. There were pro scouts there from several NFL teams, you know, the Titans being one of them. I mean, the NFL is going to vet this thing, and they're going to look, you know, for players, and they're looking for players that may be able to fill spots, first of all, during a training camp, and then, you know, get another chance at it. So, to me, as the more jobs, more opportunities for players, for coaches, for officials. There's three female coaches in the league. I mean, it's a. Again, I'm just intrigued by it. It's an opportunity, but there's going to be hiccups.
Yeah, I wish there was a CBS game though every weekend.
Yeah,
so more people could be exposed.
You're 100% right, and I'm sure that's something they wish too.
Yeah,
but of course
it got great numbers.
It got good numbers, and the product when you're watching it in person, it moves so fast.
Yeah,
that it's pretty good entertainment.
615-737-1045. Coach Mack with us until 4 o'clock. Joey in Portland. Joey, what's up?
What's up, guys? Hey, Coach Mack, how you doing?
Joey, what's going on, man?
Speaking of the AAL,
okay.
I wanted to ask you about a player from Memphis. His last name's Schultz. I got to catch
him.
Hey,
that dude, yes, go ahead.
I mean, he had like two or three sacks, five or six hurries, quite a few tackles for loss. But I was wondering, how would he fit with the Titans on that defensive line with Jarrell Casey, and how much havoc could those two together wreck on teams?
Look, Joey, in any of these guys in this league that you're looking at, you know, and it's a little bit different because, first of all, you've got to give, and I'm going to answer your question this way. The offensive lines in this league right now, they are the ones under the most duress because they haven't been together very long.
Right.
Okay, there's not very many things you can do. Now, the league has alleviated some of that issue by only letting you bring five people, but the thing that
I actually think that's a good rule.
It's a great rule.
People were complaining about that, but imagine if it wasn't.
Do not complain about that because it gives your linemen a chance. Because let's be honest, the offensive linemen that are in this league, these are going to be guys. They're going to be swing guys. They're going to be back end guys. Because if they were front line guys that could really move their feet and get in front of somebody on a continuous basis, they'd be getting ready for the off season right now with an NFL club, because there's not enough of those guys on earth that you look for, you know, to do. So it's a good thing that the league has done as far as limiting that. Pass rushers are always somebody that you want to look at. And regardless of who you're playing against, when you see somebody that can bend an edge or somebody that's got really, really good aggression, you know, and be able to beat blocks and be able to make counter moves and do those types of things, those are the types of things you cannot find really in a practice, right? Because you're seeing guys being able to do it full speed. So anybody that is able to show they can do that, or show that they can cover, or, you know, so any of those things that you want to see, but you have to see full speed. That's what this league is for, because now you're being able to watch them play 50 or 60 snaps a game. And once you get a book on them for 10 weeks, then you've got a chance to bring them somewhere. Good question.
615-737-1045. Mike is next up for Coach Mack. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. It is an honor and a privilege to get to talk to the Doctor of Defense. I always enjoy this.
I like it.
Mike, hey, thank you so much. That's very kind of you. I hope I won't try to disappoint you. What you got?
Hey, you always put it in layman's terms where even us football for dummies experts can learn something. But anyway, my question is regarding the combine upcoming, and then, of course, you follow that up a little later with the individual schools' pro days. How are they weighted against one another? I mean, is one way more important than the other, or are they equal, or how would you assess that?
That's a great question.
Mike, that is such a pointed question, and it's a very relevant question, and it's a question that, look, they're both part of the process, but they're both different, because let's look at the combine. The beauty of the combine is everybody is up there and they're on equal footing. They're doing the same drills. They're getting the same medical exams. Everything is consistent. Okay. Now, when you go to a pro day, you know, I've only been to about 3,000 of them. And when you go to a pro day and the school sets it up, they can engineer it the way they want it.
Sure.
And most of the times when you go to a pro day, then you've got a lot of the trainers, their personal trainers involved. They can only do this. They can only do that. And that's why it's so important to be able to discern what you want to get out of a pro day. And most of the time what happens with pro days, you go through your general thing, because the scouts have to get height, weight measurements. They have to get all of that stuff, and then you'll normally run a 40, yeah, and then they'll normally run a 20-yard shuttle, and then they'll start to break them out into individual groups. And once you break them out into individual groups, you know, say I'm going down there, Mike, and you're a defensive back. I want to work you out. Then I'm going to take you and all the DBs over there, and I'm going to get somebody to throw the ball, and we're going to run some drills that I want to see that are position specific to what I want to see you do, to what I would ask my defensive backs to do. And not only see how you physically do the drills, but see how quick you are able to pick up what I want. Okay. And so those things, those types of things, and that's on an individual basis. So the combine, everything is the same, and you've got them all in one place, and you've got a real constant measuring stick. When you go to the pro days, the more experienced you are as a coach, the better the pro days are, because you know what to get out of them and what not to waste your time on.
Le'Veon Bell tweeted, free at last, thank God Almighty, I am free at last. So somebody's going to get Le'Veon Bell. What are they going to get with that?
The good player. I mean, you know, Le'Veon Bell's a good player. And plus, I mean, he's got a year that he didn't put treads on his tires. They did not worn off. I mean, he's got year that he laid out. He's a unique runner. He's a different type of runner. Yeah. He's long. He can catch the ball. He's really good. He's really good, you know, in the passing game, you know, because he can run not only individual routes. He's a good screen runner. He's a really interesting hesitation runner behind the line of scrimmage. He really is, because as a defensive player, what you're taught to do is shock and shed, you know. And so when you approach the line of scrimmage, say you're a linebacker taking on an uncovered guard, or even if you're a defensive lineman, you know, trying to shock and shed, and once you've rolled your hands into it and shed, well, he still is not into his cut mode. He's a little bit of a hesitation, right? And it wouldn't really work if he was a real small back that you could take down real easy, because he hasn't generated any power yet. But he's a really long, same foot, same shoulder back. In other words, he's got something behind him when he lowers his pads and he punches, and he's got really good feet. He's a good player. I mean, he's a unique player, and he would fit into most offenses, I would think, just because of the fact that, because I know when he was up, you know, when he was there, you know, he ran the gap scheme. You know, he's a zone runner also. I mean, and he's also really good, you know, in the passing game. So, I mean, I don't know. I've not ever been around him. I don't know what kind of person he is, or locker room, you know, presence that he is, any of that stuff. And of course, you know, money's money. It always figures into this league. But as far as a talent, he is a talent.
You got the question on the other side of the break about, you know, how you're evaluating people at a pro day versus at the combine. Kyler Murray is an interesting case, Coach.
Because yes, he is.
They don't know, and for 100 different reasons. But one of the things is they haven't said yet if he's going to throw. They haven't said yet if he's going to do any football stuff, that he would run but maybe not do football stuff. One thing about a pro day is if they come to, in his case, Oklahoma, he's going to be throwing to people that he knows. They're going to choreograph the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Like a dance.
No, the whole thing.
And if that dude goes to Indy and he throws, he just met you 5 minutes ago. Now he's going to throw to you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, to me, that's an interesting strategy for a quarterback, because I promise you, if you see what a guy does at his pro day, they have practiced that for weeks leading up to that. It's literally like a dance that's choreographed from start to finish.
You know, and that, you know, Mickey, that's such a good point. And when you talk about choreographing a workout, one of the most choreographed workouts I ever saw for a quarterback was Johnny Manziel.
Right.
You know, at Texas A&M. I mean, that thing was down to the minute, the things that they do. And that's what you run into. But to my point to that being, you know, for a player that's coming out, but the people that are there that are watching, evaluating, and which is every team that's in the league, okay, they know that those receivers that you don't know them too.
Right.
They're not taking that into account. You know, what they're taking into account is, you know, how does the ball come off your hand? How quick is it? You know, where, you know, believe me, we all know that, you know, there. We understand that part of it. We really do. And to me, you know, if I'm a quarterback, I really don't know why I wouldn't throw there, because it's not a strenuous type of thing, right, that they do. And to me, just to be able to showcase now, just in watching him, I haven't done him yet. I'm going to watch his tape because I want to do that. I want to watch he and Haskins and Jones. I want to watch and Drew Locke. I want to watch those four guys just to watch them, you know, so I know who they are. You know, because we're going to do a big draft show with the draft being here, and I want to know these guys. You know, I always do this anyway. But when you just at first brush watching him, I mean, the guy can throw. He's got nothing to hide as far as the way he can throw and what he can throw. And, you know, if he decides not to do it, he won't be the first one that has decided not to do it. But just from my perspective, especially for a quarterback, I don't know why you wouldn't throw there, because, you know, it's not that many throws, and everybody knows that those aren't the dudes that you're used to throwing to.
Right. He might be the smallest quarterback in the NFL since, and you're a Texas guy, you'd remember this guy, Eddie LeBaron.
Absolutely, Eddie LeBaron. I mean, people won't even know who Eddie LeBaron is, you know. But Eddie LeBaron,
kind of car, right?
Eddie LeBaron was tiny, tiny. You know, he really was. I mean, he's more like, look, I was on a team in this league at the Bears with Doug Flutie.
Right.
Okay. I mean, I was on the team with Flutie, and Flutie is everybody's their own individual person, but Doug Flutie was a lot like this guy as far as height but as far as the things that he could do. And Doug Flutie had an unbelievable arm.
Right.
I mean, he could whip that thing. I mean, he really could. I've seen it in person, you know. And so it's going to be, and especially now with the way the league is. And when you look at Murray and you watch him, though, I mean, this isn't a guy that threw an inordinate amount of passes out on the edge. Right. He threw from the cylinder.
Right.
I mean, he was a cylinder thrower and people were going to say, well, you know, the defenses that he's facing, you know, in that era, but still he's making the throws and he can, so he's a very, very interesting prospect. And look, you guys are very savvy with this. Our listeners are savvy. Quarterbacks are so valuable in this league. I mean, it's going to be very, very interesting. You know, he's not going to be on the board very long. I will say that.
You mentioned a little bit, you know, when we were talking to Le'Veon Bell about the off-the-field stuff, and we've had this conversation a little bit, but that comes up when a lot of Titans fans say, hey, let's go after Antonio Brown, right? So that led us to the question of Antonio Brown OBJ. As far as comparison, if you had to pick one of them, who'd you pick?
Those two are, first of all, they're both dynamic receivers. Mm-hmm. and they could both help you. And they both clearly have got, I mean, their personalities, which you get in the receiver group, okay? The first thing,
a big personality.
No, they are. But that look. That is funny. I mean, I've been in this league for a lot of years. I've dealt with personalities.
Yeah.
At every position, you get a few more of them at that position. I mean, that's just the way it is, and that's okay because you know they both produce.
You kind of have to be at that position, right?
Well, you really don't have to.
You have to be confident.
But it's something about it. But anyway, both of those guys can play. The first consideration with both of them is, as a separate issue, what's the money? Because that's going to be the biggest thing. And because they both can play and they will both bring just about the same thing to you they both have pretty much the same type of skill sets. Mm-hmm. They really do. And they've both had the same kind of production. So if you were serious about both of them, the first thing you would do is get them in. And we talk about, you talking about vetting somebody. I mean, you would have to have some serious, you know, multi sit downs, because but the money part of it, and because they both signed big contracts, they both got big money coming, and you've got to see how that not only, you know, would you be able to accommodate it, but how does it fit into your salary structure? And then what does it do to not only your salary structure, but what does it do to the people that you are also paying salary to? All of a sudden you bring someone else in and you know, I bring Mickey in, and all of a sudden I'm paying him a lot more than I've just paid you. And you're a really good receiver too. And you go, wait a minute. Mm. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that go into it, you know, but as far as players,
that, normal fan doesn't think about.
Well, but the fans, you know, if they really would think about it, they would know it, you know, because that's what this league is. But as far as performance wise, they can both play, and they could both, whichever offense they went to and whichever team they would go to, they would both upgrade a team because they're both good players.
Yeah.
Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis, every Wednesday, 3:15.